Father, to understand, Father. Not just let us hear from our intellect, but help us, Father, to hear from the Spirit what you're saying, what you're doing. Father, we bless our spirit. Bless one another. Just speak a blessing to the person next to you. Bless their spirit. Or if you don't have one, just say, God, I bless my spirit to receive your word, because your word, spirit and life. The letter kill, but the spirit give life. So, Father, we bless our spirit to receive from you today, Lord God. We bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, if you have your Bible, open it to 1 Samuel. We have a very interesting message this morning. You probably want to take some notes as well. This is a message that you just don't want to listen one time. You want to go back and go through over. All right. I just heard, Jamila, you have to do something next Sunday. You have to do Italian. All right, Jamila? You know what? The laughter will work too, okay? That's still good. Yeah. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Okay. 9 and 10. We're going to go through that. I want to talk this morning about the prophetic anointing, the prophetic gift, the prophetic mission. What is prophetic mean? What it's all about? I'm going to go in and out of that. And I want you to be able to see something, learn something, receive something, and most important is to adjust our mind, our heart, our spirit to bring it alignment with what we're going to learn this morning. All right? How many of you believe in the prophetic ministry? How many know it's a powerful ministry? All right. What steered this into my heart this on Thursday night? I was at the airport and we're having a house of prayer, and I have a word for someone. I don't want to tell you because I haven't given it to that person yet. And I heard the Lord say that, you know how the scriptures say that the prayer of faith will move mountain? But it's not that exactly. It said the prophecy by faith will move mountain. The prophetic word that comes from God is going to move mountain. And I was like, this is something that I learned. When you get something, sometimes the Lord just say, give it away. And this time I heard the Lord say, there's more. Just wait. Meeting is over and stand there. And there was an old incident. Alex forget her cell phone and we have to go back. So while I'm waiting for her to go to the security to get her cell phone, to open the door, this kind of thing, the Lord was downloading that onto my spirit. And this is what I heard. I feel the Lord saying is this, is that we need to see the prophet. This is a season to rise up, and I believe it's also going to be for next year. We're going to see the prophetic mantle to rising up big and greater and higher and wider. And the Lord bring to me the story of when King Saul, even he has said to Jonathan, I'm not going to kill David. I'm not going to harm him. I'm not even touch, you know, the hair of his head. He's okay. He's safe with me, all this kind of thing. And the scriptures say that he changed his heart, even after having an agreement. And then he started to send his army to go after David, right? And when the army was there being sent out, what to do? Is to kill him, to capture him and to kill him. So they were sending a mission to destroy. The Bible says that they meet in the assembly of a prophet, and it's in 1 Samuel 18. And the Bible says that as these people, this army, these soldiers, when they hear the prophet, they are all prophesying. And these men, these soldiers, I want you to try to see this. There's a group of prophets. They're marching. They call it the prophet procession. They are walking out in the public and they're prophesying. And as these soldiers, as this army, they join in the prophet, the Bible says that they also start to prophesy. Now, you know that story, but what I want to get deeper into this. Prophecy, it says, it doesn't come by the will of man. Even you want to prophesy, the Bible says, desire the gift of prophecy. But even that desire, even to prophesy, sometimes you don't intend to prophesy, but immediately sometimes you get a word. And like today, I got a word, like say, call up the man. Like that, the prophecy doesn't come with the will of man. It comes because it's God's will. Now, I want you to see this picture right now. It's going to be huge, it's going to be big. This man who's not intention to do God's will, their intention is to kill David. Who is David? He is a future king that God has chosen, right? He's the one that's going to rebuild, restore, bring Israel back to its place. But the army wanted to kill him. His own people, you know. It's not the Philistine, the Amorites, it's his own. And I want, do you think the prophet are prophesying at this moment? If they're prophesying the will of God, what do you think they're probably saying? Think about it. Is it possible that they're prophesying that David is going to be the future king? Is he are they prophesying that God is going to restore? Are they prophesying about all the will of God? Because prophecy is the will of God. It doesn't come with the will of man. It's God's will. So this prophet right now, they started to speak and declare the will of God. And these soldiers, they were not declaring God's word. They were not even trying to do what God called them to do. They were just obey what King Saul. Immediately as they joined this group of prophets, guess what? The Bible says that they start to prophesy. They start to speak and declare God's will. And the Lord spoke to me about this. He said to me, I already have chosen a new person for Israel. But the enemy wanted to destroy that person. I don't know who, didn't give me any name. And I heard the Holy Spirit say that the prophet mentor need to rise up. They need to start speaking the oracle. They need to start to declare the will of God. And I want you to see a bigger picture right now. It's not very pretty right now in Israel. You know that. We have friends who live in Israel. I just received a couple of pictures and email from them. About a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a lot of Jewish people gave their life to Jesus. They sent me pictures, about 1,000 giving their life to Jesus. In Tel Aviv. It's amazing. The other thing is, this is what's happening. In the street, in all over Jerusalem, not just Jerusalem, but all over Israel. And I believe it's also from the West Bank. Thing. Everywhere you go, all the cafe, the store, supermarket, in the park, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about there's going to be war coming against Israel soon. And what we need to do to prepare, to get ready, and all this kind of thing. This is going on every day, every conversation. You're sitting in the bus, sitting in the car. This is what's happening. You may not be there, but this is what is happening every day. And this is what I heard the Lord spoke to me on Thursday night. He said, when the prophet rise up, when they start to declare the word of the Lord, when we start to speak the word of God, those army who want to come and destroy what God's plan, God's will is, they're not going to be able to do it because the atmosphere of the prophetic mantle increasing is going to turn their hearts around. They're going to start speaking the will of God. Now, let me just give you a little bit more to this. If you've been watching a little bit about what's going on in the news right now, there's some of the news, I'm not 100% sure, I don't want to speak it out there, but there's some of the news of really, it's been spoken, it's there. The head of the military in China, and Russia as well, we have already won United States. If you do this, we're going to go to war against you, right? It's on the news. It's there. It's on Fox News. It's on RT, on the Russian network. It's all over. And they said, this is, if you come in irritate, and think about this. There are people that have already planned a sign, event been planned. If we plan this, we plan this, we plan this, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And this is exactly what they want to do. Some of the war is already pre-planned. It's already planned ahead. Right? It's scary, but this is what they want to say. They said, we want to irritate those nations. We want war to happen. And when wars happen, there's going to be a lot of people dying. And the purpose we want this is because there's too many population. We need to reduce the population of the world. Right? Now, and how many heard China has already, they are rebuilt, or I don't know if they order or sent, built, whatever. There's about 200 ship for battle. It's already been there. It's been ordered. They want to control their territory. And when United States are talking to Taiwan, I mean, you heard about this, that we want to provide weapon of warfare to Taiwan. This is not just, I mean, think about this. What are we going to do? They can't win the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. You don't want to irritate China and Russia. This is not going to be a win battle, especially with the economy, what's going on right now, right? Basically, some of the plan that we want to do is to irritate those nations so there's going to be war. But this is how war is going to be. Iran has already started to say, we have weapons right now that we can do it. We can use it. And if you come and try to do something about us, to, you know, we're going to start using this weapon. So there's an irritation about nation to nation right now. There's going to be rumors of war. And that's what the Bible is saying. So to go to Taiwan and say, it is our obligation to give the U.S. say, this is our obligation to give you a weapon of war so that you will defend yourself. They say that irritation, it's not worth it. Basically, there's a lot of some of the top leaders in England, they already understand what's the plan is going to be. What are the irritation that going to trigger a war coming, right? So when I'm getting this word, I don't want to go too much into detail, but I just want you to be aware that these things are happening right now. Israel is in a very interesting place right now, but God's going to use that. And I believe most of the people that God's going to rise up as a new prophet is going to be Jewish people itself. I believe the Jewish voice, believers, a lot of them are going to be an increasing measure of prophet. But in the last days, they say, do not prophesy, do not prophesy. And even if there's some, you know, that prophetic word coming out. So I want to talk about this today, about you and I. What this has to do with you. What it has to do with us here in Ajax. I want to understand that. Okay. So in 1 Samuel chapter 9, right? In verse 15, it said, the Lord has told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came. So a day before, God speaks to Samuel, the prophet. He said, I'm going to tell you about this man that you're going to meet tomorrow. Right? It said, verse 16, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people of Israel so that he may be saved, my people from the hand of the Philistine. This is their enemy right now, the Philistine, not the Egyptian. This is a Philistine, right? For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man whom I spoke to you. He shall reign over my people, right? Now, How did, I want you to listen to this word carefully. How did the prophet hear the word of God? The Lord whispered in his ear. The Lord God speak to him personally, right? And then he went and all the things that God spoke to him, it sees and it happened. So it's a confirmation what's happened tomorrow, right? Some of you, if you've been getting this prophetic ministry, you have to understand one thing that you will see down the road. That's the, one of the key that the Samuel had, it say this, because I pray without ceasing. I pray for these people without ceasing. If you've been called in the prophetic ministry, you don't have a prayer life, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be very hard. And prayer without ceasing, that's one thing we have, you know, the beeper, the 10-minute thing, you know, right? It's amazing, right? So it's continuing to put you in a place of prayer, a place of relationship with the Lord, right? And in verse 18, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me where is the seer's house? Another word for seer is prophet. And Samuel answered Saul, say, I am the seer's. Go before me to the high place and you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and tell you what is in your heart. So he didn't just give the word, the prophetic word right there. He wanted to know how this man eat. If that is interesting. You're going to eat with me today. I want to know who you are. I want to spend time with you. I want to talk to you. I want to see the kind of person you are. This is very interesting. And I think he's really, really paying attention. Even one thing, God said, tomorrow I'm going to send to you. He hear that from God. And then he said, God said, here's a man. He got it. But he still very carefully said, let's eat together. Don't just give him the word. So this is one thing about hearing God's words and spend a little time before you give the word of God. Just don't give that word of God right away. And so many of us, this is what we do. We hear the word of God. We call, we dial the number. We say, okay, this is what the Lord has been saying. Who are you? I don't even know you. Samuel knowing this, they don't know each other. Because Saul say, where's the seers? Where's the house? And say, that's me. They are strangers. There's something about knowing each other before really speaking the word of the Lord. So I'm giving you something here. This is very interesting. When you get to know someone, when you have a word for someone, get to know the person a little bit longer. Take a time. You know, cook some turkey. You know, do something together. Don't just give the word. I have a word. I have a dream about something. Okay, this is what it means. Okay, no, wait a moment. Let's go to followers' mission. Let's see how we can help the poor. Let's see what he say. Well, what if Saul said, no, I can't have time. I can't spend the night. I'm in a hurry right now. I need just you to lay down the word and, you know, just speak to me. That's not good, right? So, verse 20. Okay, this is interesting here. He said, but as for your donkey, he prophesied over Saul. A little thing first. He said, but as your donkey, Saul has lost his donkeys. They're gone. So he was looking for the donkey, right? But the prophet, Samuel, speak a little prophetic word right now just to give him something, a little taste about his. He said, don't be anxious about them. They has been found. Your donkey is not lost. They've been found. Whom is all the desires of Israel? It is not you and all your father's house. Right? This is very interesting about the house of Saul. It's been literally, they've been raising up donkey. And Saul answered, say, I am not a Benjamite. Am I not a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribe of Israel? My father, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Basically, he said, Benjamin is the lowest tribe, the smallest one. And my family is even the smallest, the most, the lowest, the lowest. Basically said, in all the tribe of Israel, we are the least, the smallest of all. This is interesting. And that's how he knew. That's where he come from. Right? Now, God has already planned for him. pick someone who's from the lowest of the lowest, right? Then Samuel took Saul. This is very interesting to know where he's come from, not just to eat, to find out who he is, right? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought him to the hall and had them sit down in the place of honor among all those who were invited. There were about 30 people. So Samuel said to cook, bring the portion which I gave to you, which I have said to set apart. And basically he served the tithes of the turkey apart for him. He said, this is your portion. And he had it eat. And for until this time it has been kept for you since I have said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. Verse 25. When they had come down, Samuel spoke to him with Saul on the top of the house. He arose early. It was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. Verse 27. Now, as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go ahead. And he went on, but you stand here a while. I may announce to you the word of the Lord. So he said, I'm going to tell you, send your soldiers, send your men, let them go. I want to have a private, a one-to-one talk with you. Right? Everybody knows that he's going to give the word of the Lord. Now, chapter 10. So Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Another word for his inheritance is God's people. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb, the territory of Benjamite. Right now, from verse 2 until verse 5, could be. This is what Samuel is prophesying, the word of the Lord over Saul. One thing that you find out, all the things that he said, you will find this, you will find this, you will find this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You're going to make a sacrifice, a peace offering, and all this kind of thing. You're going to have two loaves. He started to lay all the events about God's prophecy, God's will over Saul. Now, those events, they are very interesting. They are, right now, when you read this, you have no idea what it means. Two loaves, what do two loaves mean? I have no idea. A peace offering, what does it mean? But later you find out all the important thing that this word, the prophetic word, right? Now, one thing that happened to Saul, he tried to make this prophetic word come to pass on his own will. That's why we need to learn. Sometimes you and I, we receive prophetic word. God has spoken this, God has spoken that, and let's do it. All these prophetic words are not timeline. I want to say this. Your prophetic word, God's prophetic word, God's will in your life has no timeline, has no season. He didn't say next year, this month. Sometimes it says, but most of the time it's not timeline. There are events. After this event happened, that then the other event will take place. And then that event. You remember when they say to Jesus, tell us, the sign of your return. And Jesus said, there's no time, no dates. Right? No one knows the time. No one knows the date. But he told them sign. What does sign mean? Events. When you see this, when you see Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by army, that's when you know. There are events. Prophetic words are not timeline most of the time. So it's about something happening in your life and how to apply this. So Samuel right now are putting all the key events as a prophetic word on Saul. If you're getting prophetic word over your life, one of the danger things is to put a timeline to it, right? So it's most about you understand the events, what's happening. Verse 6. Let's read from verse 5, for example. And then you shall come to the hill of God, and the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high places with string instrument, a tambourine, flute, harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now, this is a very key thing, verse 6. When you start to see this prophet coming, you will also prophesy with them. You will become another man. Some of you understand when you prophesy, you're not the same person. How many know that? When the Spirit of God comes, how many of you have prophesied before in the anointing? How many know when you're doing this, you don't want to say this, but somehow it's coming out. You become a different person. It's not just you. Let me tell you a little funny story. There was a lady from California, and she's been telling me about a couple of things, and in my knowledge, I don't agree with her. And I try and have this decent, civilized conversation with her and all this kind of thing. And I said, no, right? And then, this is 8-9 years ago. And next thing you know, we're just praying and worshiping. And next thing I know, I start to prophesy over her. And this is exactly the thing I don't want to say. Because I was just having a 5-minute conversation with her, telling her, no. And next thing I'm prophesying to her, I'm saying, yes. And she's just laughing at me, said, see, I told you. And I was like, whoa. When you start to prophesy, you're not the same person. And then how many times after you finish prophesying, the person came to say, hey, what were you telling me about this, about that? It's not me. I don't have a clue what I was saying. I can't even remember what I was saying. Right? So this is what happening sometime in the prophetic ministry. If you do not become this other person, then you're probably not prophesying the right thing. You're prophesying with your mind, your intellect, your knowledge, because that's you. But when you prophesy the thing of God, it's totally a different person. Does that make sense? So that's why we need to relate to this. Sometimes people, when they prophesy, for example, over me, oh, we know this is John Tanyan, he's a pastor, a catch the fire, and all this kind of thing. And all anything, their knowledge, their wisdom, their intellect started to prophesy about because they already know who I am. And I have to, for me, I have to listen, I have to make careful that that's not them. They have to be another person prophesying over. That's when I know it's from the Lord. You understand that? So you need to discern that. Who's speaking the word over you, right? Okay? And then verse 7 says, let it be that these signs come to you so that you do the occasion demand, for God is with you. All right? Now, and then we start to find out that all the things that the prophet has spoken over Samuel, the things take place. Right? The meeting with the prophet, he starts prophesying. He starts speaking the word. And now all the people will look around and say, is Saul a prophet? He's prophesying the prophet. This is what I'm saying sometimes. When you're in the company of the prophet, sometimes you will prophesy like the soldiers in the army who want to kill David. Doesn't make you a prophet. It's because you are under this mantle. You are in the realm, in the anointing of the prophetic ministry. And that's what I like. When I see it, we need to be able to, when you meet the teacher, when I meet with those who are the teachers, next thing I know, my realm of anointing change into a teaching anointing. When I'm with the apostle, next thing you know, you have to switch your mind, your spirit quick so fast, because they have a different language. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be lost, right? If you understand that, you can easily criticize. But when with the prophet, the same thing, you need to be quickly switch to the same realm of the anointing of the prophet. Otherwise, all these things that he's saying doesn't make sense. That's what we need to learn, right? We need to be quickly adapting under the mantle of the Holy Spirit in that area. All right. Let's turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13. I just want to give you one example here. There was one thing that Samuel spoke to Saul, said, you're going to make an offering. You're going to burn an offering. You're made to have a peace offering. And this event's going to take place, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell him that. All right? Now, moving from chapter 10 to verse 13. Verse 8. This is exactly what Prophet Samuel said. You're going to wait, 7 days. But now it's happened. It's like 8 day. Day number 8. Nothing is happening. So he's been waiting, right? How many of you have a prophetic word and say, the prophet has spoken this to me, and this is going to take place, and I don't see it take place, I'm going to do something about it. And this is what he's trying to do, right? Waiting. So he waits 7 days according to the time said by Samuel, the prophetic word that's spoken, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. Samuel said, I'm going to meet with you after 1 week, but he didn't show up. So the people were scattered. So guess what he does? He said, you know what? Samuel was supposed to do this offering and sacrifice, but he didn't show up. I'm going to do it. Right? So, verse 9. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering, peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, verse 10. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. So Saul think, it's good. I've done the right thing here. I'm going to meet with the prophet. I'm going to greet him. Hi, how are you? Welcome. Let's have some coffee. No, let's talk, right? So, verse 11, so Saul said, what have you done? Samuel said, the prophet said, what have you done? And read this. And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, that you did not come within the days appointed, that the Philistine gathered together at Michmash, they want to destroy. You know the story here, the Philistine, they said, we're going to take you captive. We're going to take all the Israelite captive. Not only we, and they said, we're going to serve you. The Israel said, you're going to take us captive? That's fine. We're going to serve you. Tell us whatever you want. So they mock them and say, okay, this is what we want you to do. We're going to pluck all your eyes. All of you is going to be blind. So they were very scared. So all the people, and Samuel said, we need to go against them. We need to fight them. But they ran away. Then his own people. So he was left by himself. And that prophetic words, it's there. And so he waited. But he didn't wait for the prophet. This is a key here. Even sometimes we get a prophetic word. In chapter 10, sometimes the prophet said, I'm going to come and meet with you. So he didn't wait for it. He just started to do it. So he burned the offering. Right? So, he said, verse 12, then I said, the Philistine now will come down to me at Gilgal. I have not made supplication. Have I not made supplication to the Lord? Therefore, I felt compelled and offer a burnt offering. This is what I felt. I feel. That's my feeling. My knowledge, my intellect tell me to do this, right? Verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. Now, if there's another translation, you have done, it's an abomination. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord will have established your kingdom over Israel forever. This is a very strong word. And something I found out here, you can go to 12, 13, 14, 15, especially chapter 15, when Samuel came back to Saul after that, he said, because the Lord has called me to anoint you, I'm the one who has put you in this place, I'm the one who has spoken the word of the Lord over you, because of that, you were the smallest one, now you become king, and he said this word. Samuel said, now because I'm the one that God has, the one that the Lord has chosen, I'm also going to be the one who's going to bring you down. Even God has put him there. God's using. So we have to pay attention to this. I'm listening to this and I'm saying to myself, God, it is your will that I'm here what I'm doing, but who has put me there? Who has called us into this ministry, who has put us established here? And the Lord's put in my eyes and say, yeah, you know who they are. I said, yes. And the Lord said, you be careful attention to what they say. And the same thing for us, for each one of us. Right? And when he said this, you have not kept the command and said, but now your kingdom should have been established, but it's not. He said, if you have obeyed, if you have kept the command, your kingdom would have been established. That means all this Philistine would not come against you, but you haven't. Sometimes we hear a prophetic word, and when we think we're doing the right thing, and we think we keep doing the right thing, and we do our own strength, what we feel, not establishing a covenant with the prophet, with those who establish us, we need to be able to go back, put everything back on track again. This is very important for us. I want you to hear this. And then in chapter 15, Saul gave him another word. So now this army is going to come against you. You're going to go, and I want you to do this one thing. I want you to destroy everything. This is a strong word. How many know that story in 15? Destroy every man, woman, children, house, everything that belonged to them. Destroy everything. Not let one thing, stand. Everything, burn everything. And guess what he did? He went, he won the war, and then he took the king. Right? I think his name is Agai. He took that king and he bring it, and then he took all the herds and all the crops and all the flock and the goat and the turkey and everything, bring it back. And now Samuel went back to him again and said, what have you done? You have not obeyed the Lord. And guess what his response saying? Oh, the reason the people bring it back, because we're going to offer a sacrifice to the Lord with it. You see the cow, you see the turkey, you see the goat, you see the lamb. We're going to make a sacrifice offering to the Lord. And then Samuel said, again, you have not fully obeyed the word of the Lord. And you say, what you have done is also a foolish thing. Guess what he said there? And then he come trying to become a little bit more clean. He opened up and said, I was afraid of my people, what we were doing. I was afraid of them. So I let them do what they wanted to do. And this is the key thing here. And this is the word that Samuel said, God, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You want to bring a sacrifice, but God is saying obedience is better than sacrifice. So he wants you to obey better than making sacrifice. And I know a lot of us, we're making a lot of sacrifice, but obedience is a lot better. You should have killed everything. This is what the command. Now, saying this, I want to speak something to us. This is what I feel we're going a little bit deeper and stronger. If I have, for example, if you have that same mentality, the same mindset of King Saul, you're going to lose your kingdom. You're going to lose your blessing. You're going to lose, because we are covenant blessing. You have to be able to fully obey exactly what the Lord's saying. Turn to me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to verse 19. 1 Peter 1:19 says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. Not only the facts happen, but it's a prophetic word. It's reliable. We can trust on this prophetic word. You will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in dark place, until the day dawn, the morning star rises in your heart. This is a very interesting word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, 20, 21. Second Peter? Is that Second Peter? All right. Okay. You must understand no prophecy of scriptures come about by the prophet's own thing, own interpretation. It doesn't come with his own will. For prophecy, verse 21, never had its origin in the human will, in the mind of man. It not have his origin. That's not how it's been created. But prophet through human spoke the word as we are carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. We're carrying along. We know how to flow with the voice of God. We know how to flow with the move of God. All right? Okay. Let's flow with the move of God for a moment. Don't flow with your time clock for a moment, okay? Don't go on me right now. That's not the Holy Spirit right now, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It said, God's Spirit especially tells us that in later days, there will be men who abandon the true faith. That is a prophetic word in scriptures. This prophetic word has been spoken, right? We do not come through the own man's wisdom or man's will. And then 1 Timothy 4 says that in the later days, in the last days, there will be men who abandon the true faith and allow themselves to be seduced by teaching of demon. We are seducing the teaching, demonic teaching. Teaching given by men who are lying hypocrites whose conscience are as dead as a seared fish. I don't know what, flesh, sorry. When I say fish, I don't know. Right? Now, let me say this to you. If I come to the place when I want to please you guys. Don't get me wrong. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to say, hi, how are you? Let's drink coffee. Let's do that together. But then there's a point where I draw the line where when it comes to the Word of God, it's the Word of God. When it comes to what is written in the Bible, it's what is written in the Bible. I don't cross that. I don't change that. I don't alter that. I don't do that to please people. What it's written, it's written. I don't add. I don't do this. I stay within the Word of God. How many know this is a good thing? But there are people out there, they want to speak, and they know the Spirit, what people want to hear. The Bible says they're itching ear. Their ears itch every day to hear those things, and they want to listen to it, and they want to listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over. They are seducing spirit. But they allow themselves to be seduced by those teaching, the knowledge. And they abandon their faith. And the Bible says that the enemy will even try to deceive the elect. Who is the elect? Those who have Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Sorry. I just read 2 Peter, right? No, this is chapter 2 now. Right? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But Israel had false prophets as well as true, and you likewise will have false teachers among you. They will import disastrous heresies, disowning the master who brought them and bring swift disaster on their own head. So these are the false prophets also that when they do that, there are heresies. This is one thing we need to learn. Okay, what are you learning? What are you teaching? What are your background? What do you get? What do you receive? If they are not the right thing, we don't want it. Because what you're doing, you bring disaster not just on your own head, but you're also going to bring it to other people who listen to you. So this is one of my responsibilities to listen, whoever, when I have a guest speaker, to listen to them, especially a first-time speaker, of their heresies, of a full of pride, of a full of themselves, of just them and nothing else but just them. It's about their kingdom, not the kingdom of Christ. Right? So this is our responsibility to learn, to discern where they come from, where they're going. We don't want these people around us, right? Okay? Matthew 24, verse 25. So false Christ and false prophet are going to appear and produce great signs and wonders to mislead, if it were possible, even God's own people. Listen, I am warning you. So these are the prophetic word for us to be able to carefully discern, not to listen to these people, even when you see the sign and the wonders. I'm telling you right now that there's a lot of sign going around, a lot of things going around, and we need to be careful not to follow a sign. We need to be careful to set our hearts, say, God, I want you to give me a discerning spirit to know if it's you or not, if it's your word or not. You and I have to make a covenant agreement. God, this is what I've been asking. Not just to hear what would make me happy. I don't want to hear what would please me every day. I want to hear the truth. I want to hear what is your word saying. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to be set free from that itching ear. Right? Get a candlestick. You know how many done that? Burn that earwax out. Get the holy candlestick, you know, 7 times a day if we need to, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In the 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. I mean, in other words, everyone, where they live. It doesn't matter where they come from, their culture. It's in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I will give you this charge. And I'm telling you what, this is one scripture that has been spoken over me when I enter into ministry. It's been spoken the same scripture 3 different places over my life. We're going to ordain you to be this. We're going to ordain you that. That scriptures. And I'm looking at the scriptures. I say, God, I have made a covenant with that scriptures 3 times in my life. And this is what I'm going to stick to it. All right? Say, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Even the turkey has not been seasoned, get ready. No, seasoning, no. But, okay, the word of God, let me tell you this. This is what I learned. Jesus walked and he saw the fig tree. It's not the season for the tree to be a fig. And his word was more seasoned in the right season. But even the fig tree, even, you know, the season of the fig is not right. But his season is more right than the fig tree. So the season of the word of God, it doesn't go with the natural season of what goes around us. It's going to be winter, but God says it's going to be summer next week. Get ready. If that's what God's saying, then it's going to happen. Right? So the word of God, the season of the word of God, will everything that's going in your life, it doesn't matter. So God's word, the season of God's words, can do anytime, anything. That's why those who believe, everything is possible. Right? Preach the word of God in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. This is there. Right? Now, what if I only encourage, I don't correct, I don't rebuke? Nice guy. I want to tell you exactly what your ears want to hear. I want to make you happy. I want to make you laugh. What if everybody laugh like you, like Jamila today? That'll be a good thing, right? Now, we want that. It's good. It's good to have friends. Good to have a good time. But unfortunately, like in the place of King Saul, he was afraid of his people. I cannot follow the full command of God. He was afraid of them, and he lost. And God has called somebody else to take over. And he lost his kingdom. By this time, let me say this to you. By this time, we would have been established if people has learned not just to listen to what they want to hear, but if they want to hear exactly what the Spirit wants us, we would have been there, bigger, stronger, further. And I feel the Lord say to me, I want you to start doing this. And I feel, Lord, I don't want to do that. And I feel the Lord say, 3 times I have ordained you, command you to do that. Will you be able to bring correction, rebuke, and encouragement with great patience and careful instruction? Verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers and say to their itching ears what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of evangelists, discharge all the duties of your ministry. We have a responsibility to speak, to do, and to obey what God's commanded us to do. So I would ask you, is that correct if we do what the Bible says? Is it correct if I bring correction to you? Is it correct? Okay. Guys, on this side, is it correct if I bring some correction to you from time to time? All right. Is it correct if I bring little rebuke, starting from little one? Is that correct? If it's with great patience and understanding, or with, you know, is that okay? Right. Now, is it correct if I also bring encouragement? Right. And I'll tell you one thing. This started in my home. First, if I can't do it in my home, I can't do it in the church. Right? This is where it starts. Right? So I'm going to practice with my home. She knows. Sometimes I lost patience, you know. But let me tell you one other thing. Can I be straight to the point here? The Holy Spirit also have shown me something. Say, be careful, watch out, the religious spirit. The religious spirit will rise when this happens. They will say this word to you. Where's your love, Pastor? They will talk about love, love, love. I don't see love. I don't see love. Where's your love? That has been spoken so loud, so clear to me. That's what the language is like. Where's your love? Right? So I want to lay it down to the before you. And if we have an agreement, covenant agreement, right? Some of you are in this church, are we also to embrace what God is saying, what God is doing today? If we can do this, we will establish the kingdom of God. Like God wants Saul to establish the kingdom of Israel. It has, you know. So if we do this, right? Now, let me tell you one thing. It's not going to be easy for us. It's not going to be easy for me to do this. And I know some of you, it's going to be easy. Some of you is going to find it very hard. It's not going to be easy for some of you. Oh, why now, you know, he's correcting me, he's rebuking me, all this kind of thing. I don't want to go to this church. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And all this kind of thing. So all these things are going to rise. So I want you to understand, if there's an itching ear to listen to the thing that you want to hear, you don't want to hear what the scripture is saying. If it's in the Bible, if it's in the scriptures, if it bring to you with the help of the Holy Spirit, if I'm speaking something, I don't know, have a clue what's going on in your life, what happened yesterday, last night, you know. And if the word of God is right there for you, then I want you to pay attention to it. I want you to say, God, I want to be able to take and understand what God, you want to do in my life. Because I want to do the same thing. One day I'm going to stand before God. I have to give an answer for you guys. And the Bible says, those who have this commission over you, you know, make sure that you help them to do their work well, with joy. All right? Okay, let me start rebuking a couple of people. No, I'm just kidding. No, some of you are not used to me, but not used to catch a fire. But we like to have fun. We like to joke around. All right. So, all right. Let's stand. Let's pray. Holy God, I want one or two of you among the crowd just to, if you feel that word, and I want you to be able to pray, make a covenant, to stand on behalf of the church people, and let's pray together. So I want to ask those of you at there, if you feel that word is right on, I want you to stand on behalf of the church congregation and to come up here with me and to pray this morning. Anyone? Doesn't matter if a leader, if you know that's, you know, you feel in your heart, you feel in your spirit, right? One of you in out there in the crowd, I want you to come here and to pray on behalf of the church people. Basically, your prayer is like, God, we're going to believe and trust Pastor John and Sandra to bring the word, everything that we talk about, and to pray on behalf of the church congregation. You want to do that? Okay.
Father God, we received that message this morning, Lord, and we just open our hearts this morning, Lord. We open our hearts to words of rebuke, if they're necessary, Lord, words of correction, but also words of encouragement, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that we not take offense to things, Lord, that we know that words spoken are spoken in love, Lord. And we just lift John and Alex as they do that, Lord. It's what they're called to do, Lord. It's what they're commissioned to do, Lord. So we just lift them up and support them in this, Lord. And we just know that, again, we are blessed to be part of a family, Lord. And part of being part of a family, Lord, is being open to correction, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Lord. We just receive those words this morning, Lord. And we just thank you and glorify you for that in Jesus' name this morning, Lord. Amen.
Holy Spirit, we just welcome you now to come and search our hearts, Lord. Father, wow. You have made us, you knit us together in our mother's wombs, and you know our coming in and our going out, our standing up and our sitting down. And Holy Spirit, would you search our hearts, Lord, and diligently help us to see if there's any wicked ways within us, Lord, and just lead us into the ways of righteousness, peace, and joy. God, that's what we ask for, righteousness, peace, and joy. Father, help us, Lord, to have a spirit of discernment. Holy Spirit, would you bring that spirit of discernment into our hearts right now, Lord? Father, that we would know what your word says, Lord, and that we would be able to divide it correctly, Lord. Father, we don't want to walk with a spirit of offense, Lord. We want to walk with right hearts, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do that every single day, Lord. Father, help us to wake up in the morning and examine our heart and lay it open to you for the day. Lord, that we would tune into you every day. Father, Alex gave that word about spending time with you. And Father, we just repent right now, Lord, for our busyness and for our running all the time, Lord, and not sitting and waiting on you. Father, would you help us now, Father, as we're coming into the end of 2011, to find the time for you, to make you our number one priority, God, that, Lord, that, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we do have those buzzers, Lord, and God, that they do help us. But Father, we just need to have you in our hearts, Lord, reminding us that we are one with you. And Father, that we can discern and that we can trust you with our whole hearts, Lord. Father, that we aren't leaning on the world and their understanding or even our own understanding. God, we hear so many mixed messages on the TV and everywhere. And God, we want to tune into you stronger than anything else, anywhere else. So, Father, help us, Lord, as we're coming to the end of this year, God, to set our hearts, our minds, and our spirits on you, and that we would walk into 2012, Father, knowing fully well that you are guiding our steps. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen.